Welcome to Jam Live, the show featuring concerts and events presented by Junction Arts and Music Society in Haines Junction, Yukon. I am Maria Leniak. Welcome to the fourth of our six-part series featuring music from the 2015 Kluane Mountain Bluegrass Festival in Haines Junction, Yukon. This very popular festival, which has been running since 2003, has presented amazing music from the finest artists in bluegrass, such as Daly and Vincent, Claire Lynch, and Dale Ann Bradley. And for the first time, this year, Jam Live recorded some of the fantastic performances. Flat Lonesome from Florida is a fun young band that is taking the bluegrass world by storm with a new and fresh approach to bluegrass music while staying true to their traditional essence. The sextet consists of brother and sisters, Buddy, Charlie, and Kelsey, and their friends Dominic, Michael, and Paul, who is married to Kelsey. They were nominated for the IBMA Emerging Artist of the Year Award in 2013 and won the award a year later. In 2014, Flat Lonesome's second album entitled 2 made its debut on the Billboard Bluegrass charts at number 5. Before we get into the music, let's just listen to part of an interview Whitehorse producer Steve Gedrose had with the band during the festival.
My name's Steve Gedrose. We are here coming to you live from the 2015 Kluane Mountain Bluegrass Festival here in downtown Haines Junction, Yukon. I'd like to start by welcoming Flat Lonesome to the Yukon.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming all this way to play for us.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. I think maybe the best thing is just go around the circle and everybody introduce themselves and say what you play in the band.
Great. My name is Michael Stockton and I play the dobro.
I'm Buddy Robertson, and I play guitar, and I sing lead vocals and harmony.
I'm Charlie Robertson, I play fiddle and sing lead and harmony vocals.
I'm Kelsey Herigel, I play mandolin and sing lead and harmony.
I'm Paul Herigel, I play the banjo and talk.
I'm Dominic Illingworth, I play the bass and do all the musical narratives on the album.
I know that how important band names are in bluegrass and in any genre, and I'm going to go really out on a limb here and say that this is Flat Lonesome is about Lester Flat and the high lonesome sound that Mr. Bill Monroe coined as the vocal sound of bluegrass. It was really funny to read in What's Up Yukon that you just thought Scruggs Lonesome wasn't gonna get it.
That was a little bit odd.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. I know that how important that is, and that's a great name, I think. I know that you won a number of awards, but I'd like to congratulate you on the 2014 IBMA Emerging Artist Award. That's a very
Thank
big
you
deal.
Very much.
What does that kind of recognition from your peers mean to you guys?
Everything.
Yeah.
It was great for us. We have only been a band, a little over 4 years. So at that time, it hadn't even been 4 years yet. And for us to, go into this just thinking maybe we can have some fun playing music together and maybe one day even make a little bit of money. That's high hoping for bluegrass, I know. But to win something that's member voted, is completely different than the fan voting, which is like Stigma, in Nashville.
Absolutely, yeah.
Which is, again, is, a huge honor.
Of course.
But to have people that, like you said, are our peers and also people that we've looked up to, that we know probably played a huge part, and that is a real honor for us.
And it happened so fast, too.
Yeah.
Is that so?
We don't really, none of us really have like a deep heritage in bluegrass, like our parents have played, but not professionally toured.
Right.
So nobody knew who we were when we started. We didn't have like a foot in the door, so to speak.
Right.
So it was just kind of amazing to us that everything just took off so fast.
Yeah.
It's been a fun ride. So
Great. What is it about siblings singing together that's so special? Can you guys identify that?
Well, I really can't stand my sister. No, I'm kidding. I don't know. I guess it's, to me, if you ask my opinion, which...
Which not, I am.
Right, yeah. I mean, it's not valued by a lot of people. You just don't know me yet. For me, it's just the doing it so much. We sang together growing up, so it's kind of like, Like, we could mess up a song on stage.
Which we do a lot.
Yes, we do that every show. But we can mess something up on stage and recover it without it being too much of a disaster, because I always know what they're going to do.
Okay.
You know
yeah.
what I mean?
There's
it's
okay.
kind of a second nature thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Almost like muscle memory with the instruments, except we kind of, like you said, we always know where we're going.
Right.
We actually did that in a band competition. I don't know if it was the first year or the second year. It was the second year.
It was the second.
It was the year we won, wasn't it?
Yep. Yeah, the year we won, actually. We went out on a limb in this competition and did an original song that
okay.
Paul wrote, which is not usually done in band competitions.
It's usually covers?
Yes.
It's always covers?
Just yes, because the judges like to be familiar with what they're judging.
Okay,
you know?
That makes sense.
It's kind of hard to judge a song that you've never heard before.
Of course.
It's kind
of
like judging a book without its cover.
Exactly.
Sure.
You know,
to
each his own. So we went out on a limb and did that. We felt like it was a very traditional feel, and you know, it was a 3/4 time, so everybody, you know, usually draws to that kind of a song anyways. And we completely omitted an entire fiddle break and chorus. And the three of us who sing had no idea until we finished the competition.
And we were freaking out.
They were
yeah,
freaking out.
Of course.
They're thinking they
of
don't
course.
Know when they're going to come back
I didn't even
in
play my break, and I thought I nailed it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Charlie, actually, I remember that. Charlie got off stage. She was like, guys, that was awesome.
Paul
was like,
yeah, you didn't.
What are you talking about?
You didn't even play.
Yeah.
That's no kidding.
That's why I did so good.
Yeah,
yeah. So it was.
Didn't even mess up.
You know, I think Buddy is definitely right about being able to, you know, we recover a little bit better. We know
I'm right.
When we're practicing too, we kind of always have a feel of where we're going to be, where
yeah.
we're going to go if we're arranging a new song or something like that. So I think it does give us maybe a little bit of an advantage. But
kind of like when a sports team has that kind of. Chemistry.
I was just going to think of that analogy. The guy knows where the other guy is on the court
yep.
or on the rink
yes.
or whatever it is. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Great. And that's more about growing up together than being related almost, isn't it?
I would say so. Yeah. Because, I mean, we're not related to Dominic and Michael, but we've played together for so many years, even before we were a band, that musically we know. We
yeah.
know when, you know, we're going to drive a part of a song or when Michael may end a song or, you know, if it's something like if we're in a jam session, just playing new stuff. And sometimes we throw stuff in on stage that we had no idea we were going to play.
Right.
And that's just...
I literally did that last night.
Yes, we actually did. That's where that comes in, I think, like
sure.
you said, just being together all the time and playing together constantly. And I like that. I like the freedom of being able to do that on stage, not having to be so rehearsed. A lot of people, and it is good to be rehearsed. I'm not saying don't be rehearsed.
No, I understand.
We like to know our material, and we like to know, you know, we like to have a set list and know exactly what's coming up and what we're playing. So
of course.
That way, if we do want to switch a song around or something like that, we at least have a roadmap of where we're headed. So I have too much OCD not to have some structure.
I looked at the little video about making two,
yes.
and I think it was Kelsey that said that's your grown-up record. Is that kind
yes.
of what you're talking
felt,
about?
Felt a lot,
for
it.
Sure.
I feel
yeah.
like our first album was our, like the first one, the second was the grown-up one, and this one's kind of like our professional one.
Wow,
yeah,
great.
The first album was like, hey, they're cute, look what they can do.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
The second one we were all, I think, very nervous about because you don't want to have that sophomore slump. You know,
well, exactly. It's,
and,
yeah.
You know, after the first album, it's not so cute anymore. You're
right.
Kind of in it for real. And so this third one, I think for us, was almost like we could breathe with this album. You
okay.
know, people, we've got two albums out and, you know,
kind
we don't want
to... Established our own sound.
Yeah, yeah. We didn't want to go to the extremes because we are extremists. I think all of us are
okay.
extremists. We like to push that just a little bit. So we did. We put a little bit of, you know, flair in there, I guess, some hardcore stuff. But there is a ton of traditional bluegrass and country on it, which is who we are.
Right.
I mean, we love the traditional country, I think, just as much as we love the bluegrass part of it.
Right.
So I think that it shows who we are as Flat Lonesome even more than the second one.
Why do you guys think, and let's go around the horn here, why do you think that bluegrass is relevant in our modern, high-tech, messed-up world?
I feel like because it's a genuine and it's a real music. There's a lot of emotion and thought that goes into the music, and it's not just like a... I feel like a lot of the stuff that comes on the radio today, we won't name any in particular artists or genres of music, but it's just they're chasing the fad,
yes.
you know, of what's out there to try to make a dollar.
Yeah.
And there's no soul in that kind of stuff. There's no soul in that music. When you have artists that really put thought and emotion and their actual own feelings and their life stories in their songs, then when they perform them or record them, you get such a more relatable experience and you can connect with somebody a lot more.
Yeah.
I feel like that's why bluegrass is so popular at this time, because people are really being able to relate to it.
Yeah. Thanks, Michael. Buddy, what do you have to say on that?
Well, obviously everything Michael said was true, but to me it's
dumb.
There's a lot of computer generated music.
Yes.
There's a lot of artists that you could see them on the street and tell them to sing one of their songs and they couldn't do it.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Without pitch correction or all that stuff.
Right.
You mean?
Yeah.
Or a high production behind.
Exactly.
It. Okay.
But to me, bluegrass is just if you play bluegrass, at some point in your life you've worked hard to do it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Learn how to play.
Right.
Yeah.
And whether you're born with a talent for music or not, there's still the blood, sweat, and tears part of it.
Isn't that right?
Yeah. So.
A friend of mine is a guitar teacher, and she has this chart on her wall, and it's kind of like an iceberg. It's got performance, it's this little tiny thing, and then the water, and then all the stuff that has to happen underneath, you know,
that's the
technique, learning how to play, all this stuff is all out of sight.
Right. And there's always somebody better, it seems like.
Well, that's the other thing, of course.
It doesn't matter how much you practice, how much
It usually happens after you have that stint where you're like, man, I feel like I'm doing pretty good right now.
Yeah.
And then you go to a festival, you're like, son of a gun.
Yeah.
I really got some
work to do.
Yeah.
You see a five-year-old kid that cannot pick up a guitar, and then you're like, well, I quit.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. How about you, Charlie?
Well, I guess my favorite music, the people that I enjoy listening to the most, is real music. It's soulful. You feel like it means something to them, and I think you hear a lot of that with bluegrass and country music.
Yes.
Just like the people, the songs, the choices, the song choices that people choose in this music industry are my favorite.
Okay.
So that's, and I think real music, and now you'll see a lot of young people now. A lot more of them are wanting to learn bluegrass and country. Like you go to Spigman, Ivy May, you see so many young people wanting to learn about it.
Is that about the themes of the lyrics, or is that about the sound?
I think it's everything.
Okay.
It's about the way they sing it, and that a lot of the song choices are because it means something to them. And
okay.
You can tell it when they sing it and hear it in the recordings or live. It's just, you know, like Del McCurry, Larry Sparks, you know.
It's pretty hard to fake.
It's
you can't fake Del McCurry.
No, you can't. And it's every time you
that
see it.
That should be a t-shirt.
It's always the same. It's always great music. And I just can't imagine not enjoying it. You know?
Right. Kelsey.
I would say it makes it relevant now just because the people who are playing bluegrass are obviously in it because they like bluegrass, not because they are in it for the money.
Tens of dollars and over a year.
Not in it for the money.
Yeah. You know how you make $1 million playing bluegrass, don't you?
You start with two.
Yeah,
I get that.
So, you know, you go to these places and people are here playing music because they chose to do that. They didn't get roped into it. They didn't get there and say, you know, well, heck, I didn't think I wanted to do this. I didn't do this as much as I thought I wanted to, you know?
Right.
And so it's, for me, I enjoy that part of it, you know, the most, because I know that the people we're around have the same in common as we do. You know, they enjoy the music. And like I said, they're in it because they love it and not because they need to make a dollar. So
yeah.
I think that's a huge lesson to learn for some people is, no matter whether you're getting paid a lot or whether you're getting paid, you know, like you said, tens of dollars for playing bluegrass, you've got to like what you're doing or it's work.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. How about you, Paul?
Bluegrass is...
That's good. Dominant?
Bluegrass is a very unique genre. I mean, just in the last 70 years, it's come a long way. But in some way or another, it seems like every band still has that roots feel. Like it started out with,
okay.
You know, no matter how,
even though they're pushing the boundaries,
exactly.
Okay.
And I feel like it's just a very raw, unique sound. It has so much breath to it. You know, it's actually moving air from the instrument. You know, it's not plugging up to an amp or anything like that. You know,
yes.
Which is nothing wrong with that.
Yes.
But it's a great natural sound. And I think the pickers in bluegrass are much more sophisticated than people give them credit for.
That's certainly true.
I feel like a lot of bluegrass people can play a lot of other genres, but a lot of people from other genres can't nail down the bluegrass.
Right.
You know, it's just...
Right.
I think there's a lot of very talented people in the bluegrass world that are very versatile in a lot of different things.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Dominic?
I think a big part of it is bluegrass is beginning to be such a trendy thing, you know? And in the social media area, it's like it's getting as big as, you know, some country music and other kinds of genres.
Okay.
Bluegrass is starting to use social media, and obviously that's, you know, the biggest thing going on, you know, in the world right now is social media and electronics and all that. So
yeah.
I feel like the fact that bluegrass is connecting with a lot of that stuff, it's just opened it up to just be bigger and bigger, you know.
Maybe you guys can talk a little bit about what you have coming up.
If before this trip, if somebody asked us what big things we had coming up,
this was
the Yukon. I mean,
is that right?
This is our,
for a year,
you know,
we've been talking about this.
Our
no
big thing.
If you set music aside for me, this area has been like my number one place on bucket list to come to.
And
no kidding.
Forget music, just to come up here.
So you'd actually heard of the Yukon before?
Oh, the Yukon for sure. No, I haven't. I can't lie, I haven't heard of Haines Junction or White Horse.
I'm shocked, man.
We'll actually be in White Horse later this year.
Yeah, is that right?
I'm just kidding.
I flew over here on a plane one time.
Did you?
Yeah.
Going to Alaska?
No, he's kidding.
You're kidding.
You can't believe anything we said.
Virtually nothing?
The longer the interview goes on, the worse we will get.
Okay. Well, thanks, you guys. I really appreciate
you
spending this time chatting with me.
Absolutely.
I really appreciate it very much. And thanks for being here.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
You can hear Steve Gedrose's full interview with Flat Lonesome on our website, junctionjam.ca. Just click on the Jam Live link. And now, here is Flat Lonesome, live at the St. Elias Convention Center.
Bothered to miss you anymore. It's my 12 days.
you guys very much.
Maybe my leaving would be the best for you. But these rose-colored glasses that I'm looking through shows only the good lines, the ones I used to hear when I held you. And they keep me from feeling so cheated, defeated when reflections in your eyes show me a fool. But these rose-colored glasses miss real country music.
Rambling Fever.
and let some ugly lady rub my back. Went and spent the morning hours drinking coffee, studying about when I'll be coming back. Cause I won't let no woman tie me down, and I'll never get too old to run around. I wanna die along the highway and run away like some old highline pole. Well, rest is round the fever in my soul. Said there ain't no kind of cure for my disease. Scrambling Beaver.
Buddy Robertson, everybody. Well, I guess I'll do one. It's not going to do it justice, but we've got to give a little tribute to George Jones.
Here's to the possum.
Yeah.
Step right up. Come on in. If you'd like to take the grand tour of a lonely house that once was home, sweet home. I have nothing left to sell you. Just some things that I will tell you. Some things that'll chill you to the bone. Over there, that's the chair where she bring the paper to me and sit down. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, guys. Thank you, guys, so much. Is everybody having a good time tonight? Anybody enjoying themselves? Great, great. A song for you called Make It Through the Day.
Sitting alone this morning, trying to ignore the pain. It's hard to see the sunshine through the rain. Every minute feels like an hour. Everything reminds me of you. Without you in my life, what will I do? Cry myself awake every night just to find an empty bed where you are.
just to find an empty bed where you once lay. Your love is gone, I'm all alone, only death can stop the pain. It's so
thank you guys. It's a good little tune called You'll Never Have to Lose Me If You Never Let Me Go.
Love me sweet, love me tender, love me strong and true. Take a moment to remember when our love was new. You know me, I know you, we know what to do.
Again, very much. Here's a song called Slowly Getting You Out of the Way.
Well, you've done all the damage you can do, but she still cries her heart out over you. So I'm standing right beside her night and day, and I'm slowly getting you out of the way. Her that way, but as time passes by, your heart will know. With my love, there will be no price to pay. I can't help loving right or wrong, for I know she'll care for me someday. It may take a while to all her feelings gone, and I'm slowly getting you out of the way. Treated her that way, but as time passes by, your heart will know. With my love, there will be no price to pay. I can't help loving right or wrong, for I know she'll care for me someday. It may take a while, all her feelings gone, and I'm slowly getting you out of the way.
Thank y'all so much. Have y'all had fun tonight in our portion of this show?
you gone when our love's been so dear. I miss you like the sky would miss the stars if the Lord suddenly took them away. Miss you like the night would miss the moon if the
Jackson, just a mess around. Well, we're going to Jackson. Look out, Jackson Town.
Well, go on down to Jackson. Go ahead and wreck your hell. Go play your hand, you big talking man, and make a big fool of yourself. We're going to Jackson. Go comb your hair. Snowball Jackson, see if I care. My coat. Yeah, we're going to Jackson. Goodbye, that's all she wrote. And they'll be laughing at you in Jackson, and I'll be dancing on a powder keg. They'll lead you around town like a scolding hound with your tail tucked between your legs. We're going to Jackson, you big talking man. That's the place where I traced my bloodline, and it's there I read on a hillside gravestone, we'll never leave Harlan alive. Oh, my grandma of Pikeville to a farm where Big Redstone River winds. I bet they danced them a jig and they laughed and sang a new song. We'll never leave Harlan alive. When the sun comes up about 10 in the morning and the sun goes down about 3 in the day and I fill your cup, whatever bitter brew you're drinking, and I spend your life thinking of how to get away. We'll never
very much. We've got time for one more for you, and we appreciate you coming out once again.
You've been listening to a live performance by Flat Lonesome, which Jam Live recorded June 13th and 14th, 2015, at the Kluane Mountain Bluegrass Festival in Haines Junction, Yukon. We would like to thank the Yukon Bluegrass Music Society for all their support. Also, a big thank you to Steve Gedrose for preparing and conducting the interview. This show is brought to you by Junction Arts and Music. Written and produced by Dieter Gade, and I am Maria Leniak. Thank you for listening, and if you enjoyed this show, you will find lots more on our website, junctionjam.ca. Just go to the Jam Live page. Ciao for now!